Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, hello, hello, good morning. I have with me today, here, we can scoot over a little bit. I have with me today, Brendan. Every week in the children's ministry, we begin our service the exact same way. If you were here the last time I preached, you already know the answer to this, and every child in elementary knows the answer to this. But we begin every service by lighting a candle. You guys have done this the last few weeks of Advent, but we do that every single Sunday. And every Sunday, I invite one kid up, just kind of just sitting down, to come talk about why. And so today I have Brendan, and Brendan, I want to ask you, every Sunday we light a candle, but why do we light a candle every Sunday?
To show that God is with us.
That's right. It reminds us that God is with us, that his presence is here with us. And so to begin our service, just as we do every Sunday in the children's ministry, I wanted to light a candle. And at the end of service, Brendan, why will we turn the candle off?
Because God doesn't stay here, comes home with us.
Exactly. Because at the end of service, God doesn't stay here with us, but instead he goes with us, with his people as we leave. So thank you, Brendan. And we'll give Brendan a round of applause for helping us out this morning. You're good to go. Thank you for that. I'm going to move the camera. Oh, nope. All right. Thank you so much. I think it's important that we begin like that every morning. That's why we do it every Sunday in the children's ministry, is a reminder of the presence of God this morning. And for those kids in the room who are with me every single Sunday, they know that every single service, every single week, I tell a story. And as I do every single time I preach, no matter where I preach at, I this morning want to tell you a story. It's a story about God. Now, every Sunday when I tell a story with the kids, I typically have them come up and help me tell it. And we do a little bit of acting, a little bit of talking, a lot of bit of dialogue. It's kind of engaging for the whole crowd. And I'm sorry, but I can't get away with that. So I'm going to need your help this morning as we tell the story. No, don't worry. I won't ask you to come up on stage. You're good. Don't freak out. But I am going to need your help. I want to show you what we do in children's ministries and why it's so important, and it's really fun. But today, our story is about creation. I'm sure many of you have heard the story, many of you know it, but I want you to listen to it anyway. It's really good to hear the stories of God that we pass down, that have been passed down from person to person into our Bible to us. But as I said, I'm going to need your help to tell it. So if you'll look up at the screen, I need you to know what month you were born in. I hope most of you know what month you were born in. For me, it's July, in case you're wondering. And I need you to know what word you need to say. And so we're gonna get to this part in a minute. So for instance, I know my wife Emily was born in December, so her word would be rested. So when it's their part, on the seventh day, if you picked that up, they would all say rested. And we'll get there in just a minute. But for now, keep in mind what word. I hope you have it memorized to know what word. So if you're January, February, light or sky or dry ground, sun and moon, et cetera, et cetera. Because I will call on you, and I will need you to answer back. Sound good? Can we do that just once? Just work with me just for this one Sunday, then we'll go back to normal after this? All right. I'll explain as we get there, but we need to start. Our story begins in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I like this verse. I don't know about you. And I love it because of the first four words. In the beginning, God. From the very first verse, in the very first chapter, on the very first page, our Bible tells us what this whole thing is supposed to be about. God. It's not about us. It's not about what we like to do or don't like to do or the political party or the sports team we cheer for. In the beginning, God. He is the point. And as we continue hearing the story this morning, we're going to find out a lot about God. So I want you to listen closely. As we tell the first part, you might recognize the story if you've heard it before. If not, don't feel like you have to participate. Sit back and listen. This is a really great story, and it's right in the beginning of our Bible, which I think means something, that it's important to us. So if you haven't heard it, sit back and listen. If you have, I'm going to need your help because it's your time. So we'll go over the words really quick at the beginning. So if you are a January, February birthday, if you're a member, when I say it, you will need to say your word. So let's practice now. We're going to kind of run through it before we tell the story to kind of make sure we're on the same page here. So I'll say something like, and God said, let there be light. Exactly. You guys did great. Nice job. There we go. All right. And for those of you who are March and April birthdays, for the next one, I will say something along the lines of, and God said, let there be sky. Exactly. Nice job. All right. And if you are a May or June birthday, I believe, your word will be this. So if I say, and God said, let there be dry ground. Exactly. Less of you guys. You might need to shout it maybe. And then if you are, I forget where we're at. If you're next, you will say this. So if I say, and God said, let there be sun and moon. There we go. We're getting it. There we go. And the next one is birds and fish. So if I say, and God said, let there be birds and fish. That's right. And the last two, it's just 1 month because that's how it worked out. So if you're November, you will say, and God said, let there be. And if you are December, and God rested. There we go. All right, good job. All right, we've practiced. We've gotten our tech rehearsal out of the way. I hope you're ready for the real thing. Get ready. I will say the kids are slightly better than you guys right now, so I'm going to need you to step it up a little bit. They're a bit more engaged, so come on now, let's wake up here. We did the later service, so you really have no excuse. All right, it's time to tell the story. Story time, as I call it every Sunday. My favorite time of every service. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And surprisingly, there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, calling the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and morning of the first day. And God said, let there be sky. So God made the sky and separated the water under it from the water above it. And it was so. And there was evening and there was morning of the second day. And God said, let there be. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce plants, each according to their kinds. And it was so. And God saw that that was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be sun and moon to lead the day and the night. Let them mark the days, the years, and the seasons, and let them give light to the earth on both the day and the nighttime. And it was so. God set the sun, moon, and stars in their place to lead the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness and to keep it separated. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let there be birds and fish. Let the water be filled with sea animals and let birds fill the sky. So God created each sea animal and bird according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and sky. And there was evening and there was morning, fifth day. And God said, let there be animals and man. There we go. We're almost done. Let us make mankind in our image, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the animals on land. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and take care of it. I give you every animal and plant for food and to rule over. And it was so. God saw all that he was made, and it was very good. And there was evening and morning of the sixth day. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, God rested. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he had rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And that is the story of creation. Why don't you guys give yourselves a round of applause? You guys did a good job this morning. Thank you for helping me tell it. This is a beautiful story, a story of the heavens, of the earth, of sun and moon, day and night, animals, sky, and humanity created. In fact, you guys did so well, help me tell it. I'll make sure to take your names at the door and get you signed up to help out with the kids next week. So, you know, come find me. No. All jokes aside, I really love this story, and I want to zero in on it this morning. And usually when we tell the story of creation, we spend a lot of time talking about what was created. We talk about how cool the sun, moon, and stars are, or how intricate a human body is, or how cool it was. Or we talk about how the first 3 days we're creating forms, and the last 3 days we're filling them. You have day, night, sky and sea, dry ground, and then you have the sun, moon, and stars, fish and birds, animals, and man. We talk about all of these things. The creation story is also very linear. It's very structured. Things happen the same. I don't know if you picked up on the pattern of creation, but each day starts and ends the same. Then God said, and there was evening and morning of that day. Creation is very structured and linear. We talk a lot about creation, but today I don't really want to focus on that. Instead, I want to focus on what this story tells us about the Creator, or God. See, in this story, I want you to pay attention to what God is doing during this story, because I think it's important. And if we go back to the first day, we can see something really surprising. And God said, let there be light. Sounds pretty normal. We read that all the time. But I want to say it one more time, and I want to listen closely. And God said, let there be light. Exactly. What is God doing? Well, the answer is not much. Weirdly, he's not like creating or doing anything or combining elements on the periodic table or flying a kite in a rainstorm with a key on it to discover electricity. God is simply speaking. And most people can speak. In fact, I could sit up here for the rest of the day and keep you trapped here and say over and over again, let there be light. Let there be light, let there be light. And that doesn't really mean much because nothing will ever happen. There's nothing I can do unless I have the tech team set up something to put on a cool light when I say that to make light appear. Yet when God speaks, something entirely different happens. When God speaks, it's followed by something completely remarkable. And God said, let there be light. And remarkably, there was light. I think we miss this a lot because this is incredible. Because I don't know if you've tried this lately, but I'm pretty sure none of us can do it. I cannot sit here and say, let there be light, and light will appear. There will never be light, no matter how much or how much I want there to be light. Yet, God simply says, let there be light, and there was. And as the creation story goes on, God continues to just speak. And God said, let there be sky, let there be dry ground, let there be animals and plants and birds and fish and man in our image. God is simply speaking. And this is important because it sets God apart from us. And this is what this story tells us about God. See, the picture we get of God is someone that is much more powerful than us. He's different than us. Whereas we can't speak things into existence, God himself can. The picture we get, God. And there's a word for this that we like to call, and this word is transcendence. Transcendence, to kind of define it for you guys, is something otherworldly or powerful or godlike. And from the very first page of our Bible, it tells us that our God is different than us. And this is important because while we can sit here and we can speak all day long, and that doesn't mean that anything will ever be created, God can simply speak creation into existence. He transcends our abilities, thoughts, and wills. Or another way to say it is that God is powerful. And this picture of God is really important. And if we continue to read the Bible, we find many moments where this powerful side of God, this transcendent side of God, shows up. When the Israelites are stuck between the sea and the Egyptians, God parts the sea. When David was facing someone who had been a soldier his entire life, God works through one single stone. When the people were in exile far away from home with no hope of returning, God brings them together as a remnant of Israel. Time and time again, we find God showing up in ways we as humans simply cannot do. You could look back and read the stories of Gideon, Joshua, Nehemiah, or Esther and find this exact same thing over and over and over again. God is big. He's powerful. He's able to do things none of us could ever dream of doing. Our God is transcendent. And as we look on the very first page of our Bible, this is what it tells us about who God is. And the transcendence of God is something that we appeal to a lot in our lives, and for really good reason. As we pray for those with addictions, sicknesses, troubles, or more, we appeal to a side of God that is bigger than us. When we as humans cannot do anything to help someone heal of a disease that we haven't cured, we send a prayer to a God knowing that he is bigger than us. When it's beyond our ability, we find God. Yet, and in our lives, we need God to be bigger than us. Otherwise, there wouldn't really be a whole reason to have God in our lives. He needs to be bigger. He needs to be more powerful than us. But if we continue reading on in Genesis, into Genesis 2, we get a very different picture of God. See, Genesis 1 talks a lot about how transcendent God is. It shows us that God is big, he is powerful, he can do things we cannot, he can simply speak creation into existence. But Genesis 2 is very, very different. In fact, Genesis 2 kind of gives us a retelling of the story of creation, but from a really different perspective. And if we flip to Genesis 2:7, if you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be, we see these words. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. And this is really different. Because in Genesis 1, all we see is God speaking, right? Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be man in our image, and there was man. But this is different. And I took some time learning some Hebrew in college, and we talked about this exact verse and this exact part of the Bible in this class. And the picture that we talked about was almost like God down on his hands and knees and forming like in the dirt, almost like you're gardening. You know, like when you get down in the dirt and it's messy and it's personal and it takes a lot of time and energy and you got to work with your own hands. That's the picture we get of God. Like God is like down there, like forming the hands and the arms and the body and the legs. He's forming the man with his own hands. He forms the head and the arms and the legs and the body. And then he leans over the man and he breathes into him the breath of life. And the man becomes a living being. We get a very personal picture of God. God is now actively doing something for creation to come into being. This is personal. This is God up close, right there, forming with his hands, breathing his own breath of life into the man. He's no longer just speaking. Instead, he is actively working on creation. As we continue reading through Genesis 2, we find out that God plants a garden and he puts the man in the garden. And then beyond that, as he creates the animals, he asks the man to name the animals before him. He invites the man on the creative process with him, to come alongside him, to name the animals. And as the animals get named, God realizes the man needs a helper. And finding none in any of the animals, the God puts the man to sleep and forms a woman out of the man to be a helper for him, a lifesaver, however you want to interpret that. Someone really, really important. And it takes a deep knowledge of someone to recognize that at their very core of existence, they need another person. It takes something very personal. You almost get the sense that God and the man are close. They're walking together. They're talking. They're in relationship with one another. I almost get this picture of like an assembly line in this passage. This is just me. But I imagine like God creating the animal here and then like sending it this way. And Adam's sitting there on his, you know, like on a rock thinking, all right, Adam, what do you want to name this one? And he's like, well, elephant. All right, there it is. Elephant, you know, get the next one. And God sent over there, created, you know, they're working together as a team. God isn't the only one creating anymore. The man is creating. This is personal. This is relational. This is a very different picture of God than we get in Genesis 1. God isn't just speaking things into existence in a transcendence way, but he's really, really close. And this is a side of God that we like to call immanence. Immanence is when something is just that. It's up close. It's personal. It's within you. And this is the picture of God that we get here. He gets down in the dirt and he forms the man. He breathes the breath of life into him. He invites the man to create with him and names the animals, building that relationship. He walks with the man, noticing the man needs to not be alone and creates another one just like the man to be with him. He is close. In fact, we talk about this side of God quite a bit. In fact, when we talk about salvation in the church, we often use the picture of asking God into our heart. And this is the exact same idea, that we know that God is so close that he is within us, that he comes and lives within us. In fact, as we light a candle, this is the kind of side of God that we remember this morning, that God is close to us. He's personal. He's right here. And this side of God is also really, really important. It's the side of God that shows up when David is crying out to him in Psalms when he's being chased by Saul. It's the one that feels the pain of Jeremiah as he weeps for Israel, the one who wants to talk to the woman at the well, and the one that left his spirit to live within us as he ascended into heaven. When we are scared and alone at night or feeling alone and troubled by the world, this is the side of God that we are praying to come comfort us and be with us. A very different picture. Both Genesis 1 and 2 are very important for how we understand God. One gives us this idea that he is transcendent and he is bigger and he is powerful. And one gives us this idea that he is close, he's imminent. He's personal. And they're both really, really, really important. We need God to be bigger than our problems, able to move the mountains, stop the raging storm, and fight our battles. But we also need to be God to be close, walking with us, crying over the death of close friends as we do, caring about our needs. And if we don't understand God as both, we get a really twisted form of who God is. See, if God is simply transcendent and bigger than our problems, but he doesn't really care about us and he's not close and personal to us, there's never a reason to have a relationship with him, and there's never a reason for God to do anything to help us. If he's just bigger, sure, he can do it, but why would he? He doesn't know us. He doesn't care about us. He's not personal to us. But if he's just close and personal and cares about us, but isn't big enough to work through our issues and to be bigger than us as humans, there's really nothing he can do, and it's just essentially as good as a close friend. You know, me and the tech director, Matt, we become really, really close friends, and I could talk to Matt all day long about some of my problems. It doesn't mean that Matt's ever able to do anything to help me through them. But the thing about God is that he is big enough to move in our lives in ways that we can't. The truth is, we need God to be both powerful enough to help us to solve our problems and close enough to care. He has to be both. Both sides of God's are essential. And I wanted to preach this message because I think it's really important. There's a lot of noise in our life, in the world today, and this is the first Sunday of a new year. And I wanted to start by reminding us of who God is. Every Sunday we come here and we gather and we are reminded of the presence of God. And I wanted to remind us of who God can be and who he is. Who is the God that we come and serve every single Sunday? He is a God that is both transcendent and powerful and big and personal and close and right within us. I want to ask you, who is God to you? Is God just big? Is he just powerful? Is he just close and personal? Do you have a good picture of God? Do you have a relationship with him this morning? See, this was the same God that cared enough about you to die for your sins and take his life for yours, and big and powerful enough to raise from the dead and wipe away your sins and invite you into eternity forever. That's the story of the God we serve this morning. As we leave today, I wanted to remind you of that. And I want to ask you, if you don't have a relationship with that God, to please come talk to me or another pastor. We'd love to talk with you about that. Do you have a relationship with a God who cares about you, who came down as a man to be like us, to know what we go through, to die for our sins, and was big and powerful and transcendent enough to raise from the dead, wipe away those sins, and invite us into eternity? To end every service in the children's ministry, before we leave, often as many of you parents are waiting at the door because I've run long, we turn off the candle, as Brandon said earlier. And we turn it off to remind us that as we leave the church every single Sunday, God doesn't stay here in this building. Instead, he goes with us, the people of God. He's close with us. And so as I turn off the candle, I would like you to receive this blessing this morning as I end, that I tell to every child every single Sunday as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace and remember who the God that you serve is. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.